It's Krishna Day here. You'll find me online at krishnaday.com, and I'm here on day one of the Social Business Summit around business-to-business communities. And I was delighted to have the opportunity to catch up with Stuart McRae. And if you don't know Stuart already, because he's got a very prolific profile out there, because he works for IBM and he's actually an executive social business evangelist. Stuart's been talking to us about some very useful tips around encouraging your people to be brand evangelists for your organization through the use of Twitter. And perhaps you can start with telling us a few tips that you shared with the audience and also the work that you've been doing in terms of within IBM to encourage your people to really share their points of view online.
Sure, glad to do that. One of the interesting things, I think, when organizations start to think about Twitter and evangelism is they think from the perspective of how information about their brand can be conveyed out. They come from a marketing programs perspective and start to think about recruiting people onto Twitter to get their messages out. Whereas in reality, a vast number of their employees are probably already on Twitter or will be very soon. They're already engaging with people externally and having conversations, maybe not about business, but that's a ready-made channel to start feeding their messages through. So there's clearly a role for a formal, this is our official position, we've made this press release type Twitter feed, but there's also an enormous opportunity just to use your employees who are already out there and talking to people to feed through those links and messages.
Now you have many hundreds of thousands of employees. Give us a sense about how you've encouraged them to actually have their own voice, but also to recognize they're part of a larger organization, and also there's a tone there and there's a professionalism that you want to make sure comes through from IBM.
So the cornerstone of that was really to create the social computing guidelines as to how IBMers should behave in social media and try to make that a two-way win-win thing. So it's kind of the company telling people what they should be doing, but also using that to give them advice, tell them about privacy on external networks, help them and coach them to use social media more effectively when they're doing their job. That way we can recruit people. We put those guidelines together collaboratively with some of the early adopters. So it was not the company writing these official rules and giving them out. It was the community of Twitter users within IBM having a discussion, getting together and contributing to the overall set of social media rules, which then everybody follows up to. We don't do a lot of direct IBM-funded programmatic Twitter feeds. It's really all about conveying information out to our employees and giving them the opportunity to then tweet that out to their contacts, because everybody wants a reputation. Everybody wants to be seen as being a leader, a thought leader in the area they work in, and we give them ready-made information so they can get out there, build that position, build that following, and be more successful in their jobs, and in the process give IBM a reputation for being full of smart people who know lots of interesting and useful stuff.
I have to say, on a personal perspective, I did a webinar recently. I hosted an IBM executive talking about your CMO study from 2011, which is a great piece of research. What really caught my attention was the fact that when I was sharing it with my networks, and then actually that particular executive shared it with their networks, but actually then I saw IBMers get behind it too. How does that come about? Is that just something that's now built into the fabric and how you live and breathe in terms of people supporting each other?
Yeah, a lot of it spreads virally. People see how the people around them behave. And we've developed this culture in IBM of, I mean, if I come across any IBMer on Twitter, I will follow them. And they follow me back typically. And that means my message, even people in other parts of the business see my messages, they retweet them and get them out. And we mutually help each other to promote IBM's message in the market.
And one of the other things that I know is something that's actually very important to you is that kind of that internal and external connection. So you do a lot of work in terms of encouraging people to talk inside the organization. Perhaps you can give our listeners a couple of tips around if they're a B2B company, how they might start by doing that.
Sure. I mean, the first thing is, from an IBM perspective, I mean, our social media strategy is driven off a basic statement which says we're all about exposing the expertise of IBMers to the world. We want the world to know what a smart company we are. Therefore, we're actively encouraging people to get out there and talk about what they do. So that's the people who know the answers to the questions that your customers, potential customers, business partners are asking are your employees, but they're not necessarily an employee who's paid to do Twitter. But if that employee is also, to some extent, engaged, is comfortable with Twitter, and leads can be fed through to them, questions can be fed through to them, then the external person can have a direct conversation with the real expert who really knows the answer. That makes a phenomenal impression on that customer or partner. They're going to tweet that. It's going to get retweeted. Lots of people are going to see how much IBM helps their customers around the world, and that's really what we're about.
I know you do a lot of speaking yourself, Stuart, and you mentioned that in terms of the session. I know there's going to be some people listening today who are in business to business, but they're in professional services. And a common piece of feedback I think people have in professional services, why would I want to answer those questions? Why would I want to help when, in fact, actually, isn't that what I get paid to do? Shouldn't they be coming to me and I can bill them some hours? So how do you respond to that when you get asked from people who are in those kind of sectors?
I think people will only come and ask you for help if they know you're skilled and expert enough to be able to really help them convincingly, and therefore you have to have an authentic voice and be talking about the stuff that you're really good at externally, or they'll go and choose somebody else for their professional services assistance. The freemium model is well known in things like apps and web and social on the web. In general, you have to give a certain amount free in order to get people to come and take your paid service.
And as we wrap up today, perhaps you can also just direct us to how people can find out more about the other recent very good study you've done in terms of this year in 2012. You might want to just tell our listeners about that.
Sure. So we do an annual survey, or two annual surveys typically, one for different job roles. So this year we're looking at the CEO and the CIO's view of the way business is evolving in the IT world and how IT can better support business. Last year, the CMO study you mentioned, we did an HR, Chief HR Officer study as well. The IBM Institute of Business Value, if you just Google Institute of Business Value and IBM, you will find a whole series of reports going back, CIO reports going back for 5 or 6 years, and you can see how this whole area has evolved. And if you want to know more about our social business offerings and strategy, ibm.com/social is a very easy place to go.
Fantastic. And if people want to connect with you, perhaps for today on Twitter, as we've been talking about that, how do they find you?
Sure, you'll find me as S. McRae on Twitter. That's S-M-C-R-A-E, or just search for Stuart McRae, and you will find me all over the place.
Thanks so much, Stuart, for being with us today.